Why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. God, we come to you and we thank you for being good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you speak to us when we read this book, when we read your word. So I pray now, God, that as we read and as we think about what we read, that your spirit would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at a series of teachings that Jesus did, a series of phrases. They're called the Beatitudes. It's a list of different phrases that Jesus said, and they all start with the word blessed. Blessed, you could translate it blessed or happy or fortunate. And he says, fortunate is or blessed is, happy is the person who. And then he says something that is kind of counterintuitive. He gives us a contrast that we don't expect. In each one, it's like, he says, blessed or happy is this person. And then he describes a person, and instinctively we go, that doesn't sound like a happy person. Happy is someone who mourns. Well, no, somebody who mourns is sad. Happy is someone who's happy. It goes against what we would expect. And these are helpful because, have you ever asked yourself, have you ever wondered how you're doing in your relationship with God? Like where you are at between you and God? Have you ever wondered how well you're progressing, or if you are progressing? Have you ever wondered how you could know what the next step is and how to progress in your relationship with God? Well, this series of teachings gives us that. It gives us a way to look at our lives and our hearts and say, I am moving forward. I'm not moving forward. I'm moving backwards. Here is how I could move forward. Why does it give us that path? Well, because at first glance, if you've ever read the Beatitudes, it seems just almost like, have you ever read the book of Proverbs? You know, the listings of this is true and this is true and this is true, and a lot of times they're not related. That's why I've never taught out of Proverbs, you know, like a whole series, because every single verse is like a different topic, and they're all really good, but to bring it together is, it almost seems like when you read these Beatitudes that Jesus is saying, you know, blessed is this person, and blessed is this person, and blessed is this person. They have no relation to each other. But when you look at it, what we're seeing is that Jesus is actually describing how it looks when God progressively changes us and how that change looks. And this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. And it's actually a process that you can repeat over and over and over again. And they help us to see and measure our progress, and they help us to know how to keep moving forward closer to God. So what have we seen so far? What's been the progression? Well, we started out by looking at the fact that blessed or happy are those who can see their wickedness. When I can look inside of me, look in the mirror and say, I'm bad. I just wasn't bad. It wasn't that I used to be bad. I still am bad. I still am wicked. I'm a bad person, and I see my wickedness today. That's verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then the next one, we saw that happy are those who mourn when they see their wickedness. When I look at my wickedness, and my first reaction isn't to justify it or deny it or hide it, but rather to grieve over what I do and its consequences. Blessed are those who mourn, verse 4, for they will be comforted. And the third one, what we're going to look at today, it brings up this question, okay, it raises before us the battle of our lives. And a lot of times it's a battle that we don't realize that we're always in, but it's a battle that you and I are in all the time. The battle is, the discussion is, and a lot of times we don't even fight against it, we just go with the default, but the battle of our lives is, who's my boss? Who's my boss? Kids answer this, right? The first, you know, phrase that you're not the boss of me. Well, I am. You live in my house. I am the boss. You're not the boss of me. Who's my boss? That conversation, that battle inside of us amplifies as we move into adolescence. And then when we become adults, we don't act like it's a battle that we always have. We don't act like it's something that we look much more submissive than we actually are. but you tell me to do something that I don't want to do, or even just tell me to do something that I want to do, and my first reaction on the inside, I don't express it on the outside, but my first reaction is what? To rear up and say, I'll do it if I want to because I want to. But now that you told me to do it, I'm probably not going to do it because I'm the boss of me. Who's my boss? Who's the boss of you? We want to be in control. We fight to make our own decisions. I've done stupid things just because someone told me to do the opposite or said that I should do the opposite. And I want to show I am the person who makes my own decisions. We want to know everything. We want to decide everything, at least as much as it relates to us. And when we see our wickedness, and when we grieve for our wickedness, we're pulled into that struggle. Okay, what am I going to do with my wickedness? Am I going to once again let God be the boss of me? Or am I going to rear up and say, no, I'm the boss of me. I see my wickedness and I'm grieving, but you know what? I'm going to make my own decisions. What am I going to do with my wickedness? And Jesus teaches us in what we're doing in the teaching today that happy are those who stop being their own boss. Happy are those who step down from the throne of their lives. Happy are those who say who give themselves to God, surrender themselves to God and to His sovereignty, and surrender my will to His will and say, you truly will decide my life. The answer is yes, no matter what the question is, no matter what you tell me to do, I will always say yes. Happy are those who surrender themselves to God. Look at Matthew 5. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are humble. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who, it's the opposite of being prideful, right? We're prideful. We want to be in control. And being meek, being humble, is stepping down off the throne. It's saying, I'm not the boss of you, and I'm not even the boss of me. I am not the boss of anything. It's recognizing my proper place as who I am. I don't control the world, and I don't even control my little world. And he says, happy are those who are meek. Happy are those who are humble. How is that happy? How do you... See, that's another counterintuitive phrase, right? Because I think, okay, if the more that I control, the happier that I am. The less that I control, the less happy that I am. So I want to be in control. The more that I control my own destiny, and so that's why when we think about coming to God and surrendering ourselves to Him, it's like, oh, that's just a struggle, because I know that if I, the more control that I lose and the more control that I give God or anybody else, the less happy I'm going to be. And then Jesus comes and says, no, actually, when you're humble, when you're meek, when you are the opposite of prideful, when you don't control your own life, when you surrender yourselves, that's being blessed. That's being happy. That makes you happy. That doesn't make sense. So how do we progress from being people who control our own lives, whether we hide it or we don't, who want to control our own lives, who resist authority, who want to be in charge, to being people who are meek, who are humble, who surrender themselves. How do we do that? I think it starts by asking ourselves some questions. For example, where does pride come from? If you step back for a minute, see how I did that? I stepped back, just visual. If you step back for a minute and think about it, Okay. When I'm prideful, which is all the time, so that's not a win, it's just, you know, my pride doesn't make sense, because my pride makes me say I'm in control. Now, if you followed me around, you would realize I'm never in control. I don't decide what happens in my life. Circumstances come up, things happen. I could get really sick this afternoon, and all my plans for the rest of the day and the week would go out the window. I don't control my life. But I act like I do. That doesn't make sense. Where does my pride come from? I think that I make my own decisions. I don't. I don't. I try to. I try, but I don't. At the end of the day, I don't control anything. So how do finite people? How do weak people? How do people who are buffeted about by life, how do we get it in our heads that we control our own destiny? Where does that come from? Where does that idea come from? How does that, well, you have to look back at the story. You have to look at the very beginning of creation to understand why you and I are prideful today. Think about how God created us. I copied some verses. I'm going to read other verses other than Matthew. I copied them into my notes, so I'm not going to be flipping the pages of the Bible, but you can do that. Or if you're not a fast page flipper, you can write them down and then look at the context later. In Genesis 1, verse 26, as creation is wrapping up, and God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So God makes us in his image to logically reflect what he's like, right? To reflect his glory. A statue of a person is, everyone knows, that's supposed to reflect what that person is. Well, if we're made in God's image, we're supposed to reflect what he's like. We're supposed to live in submission to him because we're his creation and reflect who he is. But it's a small step from being created in the image of the king to trying to get on the throne. That's why in history, what does every prince try to do? Kill his father. Take the throne. Not every prince, but that's a common recurring theme, right? In history and in stories about kings and royalty, it's the prince who, you know, wants to be king sooner than he's supposed to be king. We're made in the image of the king of the universe, and it is one tiny step for us to say, I want to be the king, if not of the whole universe, at least of my own life. I want to be the center of attention as it relates to me. I want to be the spoke that the rest of my world spins around. Look at Genesis 3, verse 5. This is what Adam and Eve, the original two people who were made, that's what they did. That's when they sinned against God. It was because they wanted to be like God. When Satan was tempting them, what did he say? For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And look at, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. One small step for the image bearers to say, I want to be the king. I want to be the king of my own. I want to be like God. That's what happened with the person who was tempting them, with the being who was tempted them, was Satan. He said, I want to be like God. He made the same decision. He took the same path. Look at Isaiah in chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. It's talking about a king in their time, but it's also referring back to Satan. How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you were cut down to the ground, you who lay the nations low. You said in your heart, this is it, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Listen, I will make myself like the Most High. That's what Lucifer, the great archangel, did. That's what Adam and Eve said. I want to be like God. And then look at Romans 3:23. As it describes sin, for all have sinned. What is sin? Fall short of the glory of God. We instead of reflecting God's glory, when I sin against God, when I disobey God, when I rebel against God, I'm twisting the image of God, and I'm displaying something that does not reflect the Creator. I'm taking His place. I'm making my own decisions. That's where pride comes from. It's the creation saying, I want to be king. I want to be the Creator. I want to be at least the sovereign of my own destiny. If not anyone else's, at least my own. And so we look at that. Another question, we say, okay, well, why is that so serious? Why is that such a big deal? I mean, that's just the way we are. We read it. That's the way Lucifer was. That's the way Adam and Eve were. That's the way everybody after them has been. I want to be my own boss, make my own decisions. Well, if that's the way we are, what's so wrong with that? I don't think I'm going to change that. And besides, why is that so wrong? Because I know that if I don't control my life, it's not going to work out the way I want it to. The only way for me to be happy is to control my own life and make my own decisions. When I surrender that, I'm giving away my happiness. What's so wrong with me being prideful and making my own decisions, being my own boss and the master of my own destiny? For one, it's the root of all sin. It's what causes us to rebel against God. Why do we do what God says not to do? Why do we not do so much of what God says to do? It's because we're making our own decisions. It's because even though sometimes we know deep down that what God says is best, and sometimes it's what we even want to do, we're like the adolescent or the grown person who hides it better, who says, I'm not going to do that just because you told me to. I don't want to do that anymore. That is the easiest way. My son's getting, they're both getting a little older, and so it's kind of funny now to watch that start coming out of them. I know that I'm going to have to like temper myself because it's going to be so fun to play with them, and I can't, because the easiest way to make them not want to do something is going to be to tell them to do it, and so I can't. But that's how we all are. That's what makes us disobey God. That's why our pride is so wicked. It's because it makes us rebel against God. It makes us say, I'm going to make my own decisions, which in and of itself is rebellion against the King of the universe who we are supposed to be submitted to. But on top of that, it's not just that I'm making my own decisions. Inevitably, as I make my own decisions, I will decide to do things in a way that is not that it goes against what God has said. Why? Because I'm selfish. So I'm going to do what I want in the moment. And that's not going to be most of the time what God says I should do. It's the root of all sin. And in fact, look at 1 Samuel 15. God is talking to King Saul. Well, I think Samuel is talking to King Saul, but God's speaking through him. And look at what he says. 1 Samuel 15, 23. Our pride and our rebellion is satanic. For rebellion is of the sin of divination or witchcraft, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. For rebellion is of the sin of divination or witchcraft. Presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. My pride and my rebellion against God, me saying, I'm going to run my own life, I'm going to make good decisions, it'll all work out, I'm going to be the boss of me. That's, you say, well, okay. That's just normal human behavior. Now, if you were to like put on some weird clothes and draw a pentagram and sacrifice a goat, and that would be the last Sunday you would preach here, right? That's horrible. That's satanic. But this is saying rebellion and pride, obstination. That is being my own boss. That is truly satanic. Not that the other isn't, it is. But truly satanic is, why? Because what did Satan do? What did he do? He said, I'm going to be God. I'm going to take his place. At least in my universe, I'm going to be in control. I'm going to take God's place and not submit myself to him anymore. We follow directly in his steps as we live as people who control our own destinies, who become the boss of our own lives, who kick God off the throne. And whether we do it like an angry adolescent or like a more mature, secretive, manipulative, grown-up person, it doesn't matter. As we kick God off the throne and say, I'm the boss of me. No one tells me what to do, not even God. I make my own decisions. That's satanic, because that's what Satan did. That's what Satan does. And we're following his steps as we do it. And that's why God hates our pride. Okay, why is pride so serious? God hates it. Look at Proverbs 6. There are six things. Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. What's the first one? Haughty eyes. Our arrogance, our pride. God looks down and he hates that. He hates that. Why? Because it's rebellion against him. It's the creation having the audacity to say, I can do that better. I can take your place. And at the end, our pride leads us to death. Because I make my own decisions, I do what I want, I live outside of what God wants for me, even if I look like I'm making good decisions, as I live in rebellion against my Creator, I bring destruction and death and hurt into my life, whether it's physical or emotional and eternal. My pride destroys my life and it destroys my eternity. Our pride is very serious. Another question is, okay, so what does pride actually look like? And this is a question we have to ask. Listen, because you think about pride and you say, well, okay, I know people are prideful. In fact, I can tell when somebody's prideful. I can see it in them. I can just tell. I can the way they walk, and you can tell people are prideful. In fact, as I was writing this, things were popping in my eyes. Like, well, I hope this person. I would say, whoa, what about me? Well, see, I don't see the pride in myself. Okay, we can agree that pride is bad. It's wicked. It's satanic. But I don't see my own pride in myself. We're all prideful, but I can see pride in you much better than I can see pride in me. So if pride is so bad, and if pride is what makes us rebel against God, what does it look like in ourselves? Let me describe it so that we can recognize it in ourselves, so I can recognize it in me, and you can recognize it in yourself. And this is true, listen, if you have been a Christian for many, many years, or if you are still not a Christian, we all have pride. What does pride look like? It's centered around, well, me. It's centered around me. It's when my sentences start with me most of the time. It's centered around I decide. I do what I want, when I want. You can't tell me what to do. No one tells me what to do. I don't say that anymore because I'm not an angry teenager, but I think it and I live that way. I do what I want. I don't even ask God. Think about this. This was convicting this week. I started thinking about, okay, I tell God what I want. I ask God to give me what I want. When God gives me what I want, what do I call that? A blessing. I've been blessed. Why? Well, because God deigned to give me what I told him I needed. He obeyed me. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? It's when I decide, when I make my plans for my life, and I go to God and say, this is what I think I'm going to do, and God, would you help me? And then he does it, and I say, well, that's an answered prayer. What a blessing. God did what I told him to do. I decided. I have a good plan for my life. I decide. It's I decide, and then I make it happen. I do what I want, when I want, because I want, and I don't care about the consequences. I'll deal with those later. I don't care what the authority says. I'll do what I want, and I will fix it. I will resolve it. I'll control it. I'm the one who controls my own life, and nothing is going to happen that will take away my happiness. Nothing is going to happen that's going to thwart my plans. I might decide to change my plans, but it doesn't matter what happens in life. It's not going to change my plans. My plans only change if I change them. I make it happen. I decide, and I judge. I evaluate. I evaluate if something is good or bad. That's why so much of the time, even when we talk about God, even when we talk about the Bible, read the Bible, and what do we say? Well, I think, I don't think, I feel. Those are all pride words. If God is the king of the universe, it doesn't matter what I think or what you feel. Doesn't matter. But when I am prideful, my pride comes out of me and I'm the judge. I evaluate. I decide if I should or shouldn't, if you should or shouldn't. You don't get to judge me. In fact, that's a popular saying, right? Only God will judge you. Think about that. That's going to be a horrible moment. You can't judge me. No one gets to judge me. Being prideful is being self-sufficient. It's you deciding. It's me deciding. It's me saying, I'm not like that. I'll fix it. I don't need your help. I will change it. I already have changed. I'm good. Thank you very much. I know. That's something that starts when we're kids and goes on to adults. You know, I want to tell you, I know. Okay. Everything's okay. I can take care of it. I'm my own boss. Where do you see that in you? Don't think about your spouse. Don't think about your kids. Don't think about how you used to be. Where do you see that? I decide. I make it happen. I evaluate. I judge. I'm the boss of me. Where do you see that in you today? So what do we do with our pride? How do we resolve that? I see it. I see it in me. As I was thinking about this all week, it's like, oh, yeah, this isn't just a sermon for them. This is me. I'm very prideful. You know, you say that, but it's not until you think about it and you're like, you realize, I'm very, very proud. What do we do with our pride? What do we do with that? Well, there's two options. You can humble yourself. I can humble myself. Or God will break you. One of the other will happen. You can humble yourself, or God will break you. I can humble myself, or God will break me. One or the other. What do you mean God will break you? Well, through life, in this life or in the next life, you'll receive blow after blow, and it'll be God breaking your pride. Or you can humble yourself. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before, we know this one, right, by memory. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we love saying that, right, when somebody's, you know, who we know is prideful, when something bad happens to somebody else, pride goes before the fall, and we're kind of, you know, happy inside. Well, that's our pride, but that's another problem. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. When you put yourself in God's place, listen, when I put myself in God's place, we are picking a fight with the creator of the universe. We will always lose that battle. When I try to be the Lord of my life, of my own little world, I'm picking a fight with the actual Lord of my world, and I will lose that. And life will come against me over and over and over again and break me down and beat me down. And if I don't surrender, if I don't submit, if I don't humble myself in this life, in the next life, I will eternally be broken. God will break us, or we can decide to humble ourselves. We can step off the throne of our life. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself before... Let me start over. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. Humble yourselves. You decide to do that. I decide to do that. We can humble ourselves. Blessed are those who are meek, who humble themselves. What does it mean to humble ourselves? It's finding our place, who we really are. It's seeing and accepting who we really are before God. It's realizing I'm God's creation. I'm made in His image. I'm not made in the image of Philip to be the best Philip that I can be, to reflect the most amazing Philip that I can be and make everyone look and say, wow, that is an amazing Philip. That is an incredible person. That is should not be the goal of my life. The pinnacle of my success should not be other people looking and saying, wow, look at Philip. He's an incredible Philip. He's made in His image. No, we're made in the image of God. Humbling ourselves is realizing I'm made in God's image to reflect what He's like. It's realizing what I deserve. I deserve death because I've rebelled against my Creator. It's realizing that I can't control or manipulate anything. It's realizing that my knowledge is so limited and I can't judge anything completely or fully or even close to that. It's accepting that. It's not just knowing it here, but it's accepting in your heart. I can't do anything on my own. I am not the king of the universe. I'm not even the Lord of my little life. I can't control anything. I can't make my hair grow back in. I can't do anything to change my destiny. That's who I am. That's where I'm at. It's accepting that. It's surrendering myself to God. It's saying, you are the boss of me. You're the one who controls my destiny. I surrender myself to you. What do you want me to do? Not what do I want to do. What is your plan for my life? And what's your plan for this moment? What do you want me to do now? Not what do I want to do? And it's changing. It's changing. Humbling ourselves is changing from telling God to asking God. It's changing from railing against God and being broken when life doesn't go our way to accepting what God gives us. And if we get to the end of that and we say, yeah, that sounds miserable, that's the way it has to be, I get it, but look at what Jesus says. Go back to Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, blessed are those who are humble, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy. Why? Because they receive the earth. When we humble ourselves and enter in, when we humble ourselves and put ourselves in our proper place with God and say, I'm not the boss of me, I'm not the Lord of my life, God is the one who is, I am His servant, I should surrender myself to Him. Jesus said, blessed are you, why? Happy are you, why? Because you inherit the earth. You become God's child. That's what it takes to enter the kingdom. You have to humble yourself and surrender yourself to God. You become His child. You receive His forgiveness. You receive literally the earth, because as being part of God's kingdom, you receive the new heavens and the new earth. You're a citizen of that with God. You receive everything. And that is so counterintuitive, because I think, okay, when I'm humble, when I make myself less, when I accept that it's not making yourself less, it's accepting what you already are. But when I accept that I'm less, I stop controlling things. Things aren't going to go right. I need to grab what I'm going to get, because otherwise I'm not going to get it. I need to do what I'm going to do, because otherwise it's not going to happen. I need to make things happen and make my own decisions, because otherwise, who knows what will happen? Who knows what God will tell me to do? And so if I have to give up control, I think I'm going to totally lose out. But when we give ourselves over to God and surrender ourselves to Him, we receive His favor. Instead of God resisting us and saying, I'm against you because you're putting yourself in my place, God resists the proud. When we surrender ourselves to Him, we receive His favor, because we put ourselves in the place where He created us to be. Look at Isaiah 66:2. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Other side of the Bible, James 4, verse 6. But He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's God's favor. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When we surrender ourselves to God, we receive His grace, His favor. We receive forgiveness and adoption and citizenship in His kingdom. We receive the inheritance of the earth. We receive the new heavens and the new earth and our eternal inheritance with our Father. So what should we do? We should surrender our pride and surrender ourselves to God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in His proper time He may exalt you. We should humble ourselves. We should stop being the ones who make our own decisions and make life happen and control everything. We should give that over to God. And how do we do that? Well, we do it by making a one-time decision, which is, that's a decision to follow Jesus. That's at the essence of the decision that you make when you repent and you are baptized and you accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Lord means the one who gets to tell you what to do, who rules over your life. So when we make the decision to become Christians, to give ourselves to Christ, we're saying, you're the boss of me now. Whatever you tell me to do from here on out, the answer will be yes. So if you haven't made that decision, that's what Jesus is calling you to make, to say today, to come to Him and say, I will surrender myself to you. I want to be blessed. I want to be happy. I want to be one of those fortunate ones who is humble, because I will inherit the earth. I will be your child. I will receive forgiveness. And when you make that decision, when you're ready to make that decision, you can tell someone here. You can repent. You can be baptized. And if you're sitting back, your arms crossed, saying, wonderful, I've already done that. In fact, it was many years ago. Good, I checked that one off. I'm humble. No. Leaving behind our pride and surrendering ourselves to God is a decision we have to make day by day, moment by moment. We have to continually, because our pride keeps rearing up. I want to be the boss of me for the rest of the day today. And so I have to continually make the choice, make the decision. No, I'm going to listen to God. Isn't that what makes Bible reading so hard? Because we're listening to someone tell us what to do and how to think and how to look at life. And we say, I want to decide all that. When I read the Bible and I listen to God and I think about what I've read and I say, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with what I just read? I don't just read and close the Bible. I read the Bible and I say, okay, what should I do because of that? And then he tells me through his Spirit and I say, okay, I'll do that. That's making the decision to leave my pride and give myself to God. When I talk to him, I think this is why prayer is so hard, because when we talk to God, we're talking to the sovereign of the universe, and it's an act of surrender, and I can stay in control as long as I kind of ignore him. But when I read the Bible and pray, I'm listening to, I'm talking to God, I'm surrendering myself to him. When I do what he says, every time that you say, I don't want to do that, but God has said to do it, I'm going to do it, that's an act of surrender. That's you stepping off the throne and letting God tell you what to do. When, and this has been the one that just this week I've just really, has really landed on me. When I stop telling God what I want, yeah, we should go to God with our petitions and our prayers. But my system for my relationship with God should not be based on, here's what I've planned, please make it happen. But I should go to God and ask more than I tell. I should go to God and say, what do you want? What do you want me to feel about this? This is happening in my life. Think about your life. What's the area that is the hardest area for you right now? The thing that just, oh, it's hard for you. Instead of going to God and telling him what you want, although that's not bad, what if we went to God more and said, God, in this area of my life, what do you want? What are you trying to do? What do you want to happen through this? What if we went to God and asked more than we told, like we would if we really believe that he is the king of the universe? Let me ask you a question, and then we'll pray together. In what area of your life are you being your own boss? And how would it look if you gave up your lordship in that area to God? What would it look like in your life if you told God, okay, in this area of my life, I'm not going to be the boss anymore? How would that change? Why don't we stand and we'll pray and then we'll sing. God, we come to you right now and we thank you for being good. We thank you for loving us. We surrender to you. We say that. God, we ask that you would help us to live that, to be people who live lives moment by moment, surrender to you. Asking you instead of telling you, wanting you to be the one who tells us what to do, reading your word because we want to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.